Meiseres, Perek Beis, Mishnah Gimel. Ha'male peiros mina Galil Yehuda. If one takes their produce from the Galilee to Jerusalem, up to Jerusalem, to Yehuda, which is actually to the Judea, and they would usually sell it in these different areas. That's the idea here. So, Ol Ol Yerushalayim, or they're going up to Jerusalem, Ochal mehem atshu magil lamakum sholech. You could eat from them, like a little bit here, a little bit there, until you get to the place where you're intending to go, whether that was Judea or to Jerusalem. Even if he stays overnight, somewhere in between, he could still eat from them. The places you're going to stop on the way are not going to obligate the tithes, because it's not your house. It's not your destination. V'chein b'chazara, and so too on returning back. Rav Meir says, Atshu magil l'mokom hashvisa. No, Rav Meir says you actually have to stop as soon as you get to your resting spot. Or more specifically, hashvisa, the place where you're going to spend the Shabbos. At that point, it's considered, you know, a place where you really are intending to stay for a significant amount of time. Ha-rochlin, any peddlers, ha-machazrin ba-yaras, who circulate around, go around town, ochlim atshu magil l'mokom alin. They can keep eating until they reach their actual place where they're going to sleep. Rav Yehuda says, ha-bayas arishon abeso. The first house they get to, that's considered their house. That establishes, that is the clincher for them of establishing their, you know, their obligation to separate Shumas and Maestras. Rabbi Yehuda is arguing, and this is one of the explanations given for it, that the rochel, the peddler's ideal place to stay, their makom lina, is the first house they see in town. Because at that point, they want to unload all their wares as soon as possible. Mishnah Dalet, Peiros Shetarman, fruits where tithing was already separated, Atshul Nigmar Melachton, before any of the processes were done. Someone preempted all these stages we've been speaking about. So Rabbi Lezer Oser, Melachol Mamar, says you can't eat from them even temporarily at that point, because you're basically done, but the right tithes haven't been separated yet. You need to separate all the tithes. So Chamim say it's mutter, chutz mekalkalas te'enim, except for the basket of figs. The idea of separating truma itself, that can't establish an obligation for Maisa, for something which has not been finished and processed yet. So therefore, you're allowed to casually eat it. There's one exception, they believe, and that's a basket that has fresh figs in yet. Even though they haven't reached their Gemara Malacha stage, they don't alter, the Gemara Malacha stage for these items don't alter the individual figs that are there. That's just the way that crop is. Kalkalas te'enim, a basket of figs to Shetarma, which had its truma removed, Rabbi Shimon Matir. Rabbi Shimon allows the figs in consumption. Chacham say they're going to be usser. Rabbi Shimon's holding that separating truma from the figs in the basket doesn't create an obligation to separate the tithes. Therefore, you cannot be, therefore you allowed to eat them. Rabbi Shimon's only arguing that not only the basket haven't reached the Gemara Malacha stage, even separating truma from produce, which is totally done, doesn't forbid the produce for you know, eating it arai. The entire idea that separating truma could be koveya is something which he rejects. He says it's illogical that produce from which, you know, three separate obligations are, truma, maiserishin, maisersheni, slash ani, should be permitted to eat casually, where something where truma was taken and is obligated only two more things left, that should be usher. Doesn't make sense. Okay, let's stop there.